14 verses, please, together. You'll need your Bible this morning. Please follow with me in the scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John's gospel is different from the other gospels in the sense of the introduction of Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew, the introduction begins with the generation of Jesus Christ, taking us all the way back to David, and then back to Abraham. Mark's gospel begins with the ministry of John the Baptist and the baptism of Christ in that chapter 1 of Mark. Luke begins with the generation, actually, of John the Baptist, and then gets into the generation of Jesus Christ. Now you see all the synoptic gospels begin with the birth of Christ or the early ministry of Christ. But John is very different. Now, I emphasized some words I wanted you to notice as I read this. And let me say to the men and to anybody that reads before the church, take your time, make the words clear, because that's why we're here. We're here the Word of God. We're not here for anything other than to hear it. And if we rush through it, we're leaving out something important that the church needs. And I did that in my study. For example, in verse 1, the word was, which I emphasized, is emphasized and used three times in one verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Actually, in the first four verses, we find the word was used eight times, all in reference to Christ. Why he came into the world, not so much, it doesn't even mention his birth, doesn't mention his early years, doesn't even mention his baptism, except in passing as John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he made that statement because he saw the dove ascend or descend on the Lord Jesus Christ. So John is different, and there's a reason for that. He's introducing us to, I preached 2 weeks ago on the Son of God. Not the Son of Man, but the Son of God. Now, the word was in the Greek is in, E-N. Why is it used so many times? Well, it has a direct connection to, and the root word of the Greek word in or was, is the same word used concerning the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, I am. I am the way. I am the light of the world. So the connection here is that John would demonstrate to us and prove to us in the very beginning of his gospel who Jesus is. In the beginning, I am the Word. I'm the self-existing God. And the Word was with God. There's actually a plurality of persons. We preached on that concerning the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he was with God. We see that in Genesis 1 when the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit was there. The Father was there. The Son was there. And the Word was God, emphasizing that while he became flesh, he remained God. He was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. I am the word that Moses was given by God to describe who sent him down into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage and take them into the promised land. God said, tell them, I am hath sent you. And it's not just curious. It's important that the same I am who sent Moses down into Egypt is the same I am who revealed himself to us. As we read in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, the self-existing, ever-existing God, the great I am of the Old Testament. He was with God while he was God. So our first point is the introduction of John to of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world is not like that of Matthew, nor Mark, nor Luke. They had a different ministry. But God chose this apostle to magnify in the very beginning, at the very introduction of his gospel, who he's writing about. He's writing about Jesus Christ, God in flesh. And then secondly, look at verse number 3. All things were made by him. The same I am, the same was in verse number 1, mentioned 3 times. He was the Word. He's the one who spoke. He was with God, and he was God. The same person is identified in chapter 3 by John the Apostle as the maker of all things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. John makes a direct connection, while Matthew would tell us about his lineage back to Abraham, and Luke would tell us of his lineage all the way back to Adam and to God. John would tell us that his lineage goes even further than that. He ties him directly to creation. All things were made by him. Everything that you see, everything that you can conjure up in your mind, everything physical that we can look at, even things we can't see, spiritual things, was made by him. You know, look at the wonders of God's creation. It's so humbling, and yet it's so wonderful. It's thrilling to realize when you look up on a little salamander or even a mosquito. They're a nuisance, but they're a special creation because God made them for a purpose. Everything that he made. We read this in Colossians. Let's read this now. In Colossians chapter number 1, Paul writing to the church at Colossae does much the same thing as John is doing in his gospel record when he says in chapter 1 of Colossae, the Colossians, in verse number 15, who's the image of the invisible God. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. By Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, as I said, things we can't see. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. Is there any doubt about that? Do we need in any sense to question why this great creation is all around us and what the purpose of it is? We're studying in the book of Revelation how he's going to bring it to an end. It's his. He created it. He has a perfect right to bring it to an end. It belongs to him. But it was created for him and by him. But notice, as we read further in verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. They're held together. And believe me, beloved, if you knew anything about matter and space and time and the things you study in school, you know that there has to be something holding it together. It doesn't just happen. We find also in the book of Hebrews, Paul, I believe Paul wrote this, but whoever the writer is, the writer shows us this in Hebrews, the first chapter, very similar revelation of Christ when he says in chapter number 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We've been preaching on this on Wednesday night. The silence of God. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. How many times do we have to hear this to overcome the ignorance and the suppositions and the constant ramblings and reasonings of men who try to change what God has said plainly? He appointed heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. And the wonderful truth about the gospel is we're made joint heirs with him. And he owns it all. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory. John says the word became flesh. The writer of Hebrews says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. Colossians said, he's the image of the invisible God. And the writer of Hebrews says, the express image of his person, the express image, no difference whatsoever. And upholding all things by the word of his power, by him all things consist. He holds them together. When he had by himself purged our sins, all this leading up to this great truth. God speaks through him. God appointed him heir of all things. He's the very image of God, the express image of God. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, I feel so sorry. I don't mean that in a bad way, but the Catholic Church has lost their leader, their Pope. And if you notice the news and the emphasis in the news, they made a god of their Pope. Did he make all things? Is he the express image of God? Did God speak through him, as he claims? Or did he speak through his son, Jesus Christ, as the Bible clearly reveals to us? Back in our text in John chapter number 1, all things were made by him without exception. There's nothing been made. Jesus Christ didn't make it in every degree, in every way. And without him was not anything made that was made. Just in case anybody wants to question it, nothing was made without him. I'll tell you, this gospel really exalts Jesus Christ in the very beginning. Verse 4, the third point of our message, in him was life. Now, you know what life is and how important it is. Animal life, vegetable life, all life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. How are we able to reason? Well, the animals are not able to reason. Why are we able to study and learn separately from all of the life? The animals can't reason. The animals don't think. They simply act by nature, the reaction. The leaves, the grass, all the life that we see around us is different from the life that God gave to man, because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Why do we spend most of our days on this earth learning? We never quit learning. I've been working on lawnmowers. You want to learn some things, work on a lawnmower. You want to get frustrated, work on a lawnmower. But beloved, we have the ability to reason things out. We have the ability to study things and see why this works and how it comes together with this. That light was given to us by God through Jesus Christ. In him was life. He gave us life. Don't forget this. When you came into this world and the doctor maybe spanked you on the bottom side and you gasped and took your first breath, it was a gift from God. Many babies die at birth. Many babies die before they're born. But if you're here today and living, you receive life from God. He gave you life and he keeps your life. The Bible tells us in Acts, in him we live and breathe and have our being. We're still alive because of him. God help us to understand who we're dealing with. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, our next point, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ came into this world a shining light. The Jews didn't recognize it. This world still won't recognize it. They refuse to recognize his title to be the light of the world. They still try to scramble around it and reason around it and make up somebody else to be the light of the world. But the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why is that true? Why can't we comprehend? Why are people born into this world and they begin their course of life and they live and they go through their young years and they go through their teenage years and go to be adults and they die still not having understood that Jesus Christ is life? Why don't they comprehend that all they need is Jesus Christ? They don't. They can't. As scholarly as Nicodemus was, the song we sang in the choir this morning, as religious as he was, as much as he practiced his religion, he came to Jesus and he said, "We know that thou art a man come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He saw something, but he didn't see the light. Even after Jesus talked with him, he still didn't see the light because something was hindering him. What was it? It was a sinful nature that he received from his parents, Adam and Eve. It was a nature prone to sin. It was a nature that loves sin. That's why young people are born and, you know, they're so innocent when they're little and so nice to be around and to have around. But then when they get that certain age, they start beginning to get a little rebellious and think they know more than mom and dad and everybody else. And they begin to wander away from the normal things that they should follow. I mean, it's normal for children to obey their parents. It's normal. It's something they ought to do. It's something they ought to be glad to do. But do they do it? No. What do? They begin to rebel. They begin to think for themselves because they can't see the light. It's hidden from them. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except you be born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. You're religious, you're lost." Thank God we read in the Gospel of John that eventually he saw the light because God let him see the light. Let's go on. Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Mark begins his gospel by telling us about John. Luke begins his gospel by giving us the lineage of John. But John mentions him here as a man sent from God. Don't lose that. He had a special mission. God sent him for a reason. He sent him to identify Christ, and he did in this same chapter. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He said, I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God. There was a man sent from God. That's why we believe in church authority. That's why we believe in Baptist baptism. We believe a person has to have some authority. John had authority from God. He was sent by God to do some things. His name was John. I love that. Just plain John. Don't have to add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. His name was John. Because that's what the angel told his father. Call him John. So we see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a man sent to identify him. That next verse tells us the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light they couldn't see. John was to point to him and say, "Here's the light. Here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Because that was his purpose. Verse 8 says, "He was not that light." John was not that light. And he gladly confessed that. "He must increase, I must decrease. He was not that light. I'm not the Messiah. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness," as Isaiah chapter 40 had promised. Also in the book of Malachi. But notice verse 6. "He was in the world." You know, that staggers my mind. As I said, I study sometimes. I think I get too immersed in my study. But he was in the world that he made. He made it as God the Son. He made all the detail. He made it exactly as he wanted it. He made it for his purpose. And then he came and dwelt in it. He waited 4,000 years. More or less 4,000 years before he came and walked on his own earth. Think about that. You know, we build a house and a lot of labor in it. I can remember building our home where we are now, and which I was trying to work and pastor and build a home, and that was a handful. But I'd be over there. I stayed over too late one night, and we were living right across the street here in this house, and Carla sent Tim over and said, see if he's all right. I mean, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. I still nailing down floor tiles in the hallway. A lot of work. But when we got finished, it was my house. I built the thing. I didn't lay the brick. I didn't wire the electricity. But it was my house. I claim it as mine. But think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, being born in a manger, being raised in Nazareth, working with his father who was a carpenter until he became about 30 years of age, and then he began his ministry. But all the time, it was his house. It was his earth. It was his universe. He made it. He was in the world. The angels heralded his coming while he was in the manger. The wise men followed him to Nazareth and heralded him as the Messiah. Oh, Simeon held him in his arms when he was just a baby. He says, now let that servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he looked on a little baby he was holding in his arms. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He made this world, and the world knew him not. Now, it's talking about men. I think you understand that. Did the animals recognize him? He rode into Jerusalem on a colt that had never been broken. Did you ever try to ride a colt that's never been broken? I hope you didn't. You might get broken if you do. Did they not yield completely to him? All of his creation yielded to him except one aspect, and that's mankind. They didn't know him. When he came into the world, they knew him not. Nicodemus didn't know him until Jesus revealed himself to him. And what I really want to emphasize this morning is the 12th verse. This is my last point. But as many as received him. I think the note I gave Josiah was the title is As Many As. As many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, some did receive him. Old Samuel was waiting for him. He was looking for him. Anna came into the temple while he was there. She was looking for him. A few times in the scripture, we see there were some that were looking for the Messiah. And when he came, they recognized. Very few. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. I love word study. The word power is a word that means authority and ability, both at the same time. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm giving you the authority to go. I'm giving you the power to go. All power is given unto me. There's other words for power. There's one called dunamis, which has to do with explosions or something that wrecks everything. Dunamis, I think it is. But this word has to do with authority, has to do with ability. As many as received him. When I preach to you from this pulpit, there are lost people and even those that are saved. I'm preaching a very simple message, receive him. When it all comes down to it, no matter how what text I use, no matter how I try to present it, no matter what I say, I'm simply trying to do this, receive him. That's why to me this is such a wonderful text. I'm not asking you to receive a common man. I'm not preaching to you that you're going to receive somebody that is as weak and sinful as you are. I'm talking about a man who never sinned, who lived in this earth, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he never sinned. But as many as received him, many did after he began his ministry. All the apostles except, of course, Judas the betrayer, they received him. Now what does it mean, as many as received him? What does it mean to receive? The word is lambano in Greek, and it means simply to embrace or to take to yourself. You know, when a newborn baby is born into a home, they fight over who's going to hold the baby. You've seen that. I've done it myself. I used to take Elena when she was really little. I love that little jigger. I still do, but I told her the other night I wish I could take her back to where she was so little. But I love to take her back in the back bedroom. She'd be fussing and carrying on, and I'd take her back there and sing Amazing Grace, and she'd go right to sleep. I embraced her as my own. She's my granddaughter. But as many as received him, it means to you personally, take the Lord Jesus Christ into your bosom. Take him to yourself. As you own him, receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become. And that word become has to do with conception or a new birth, to become the sons of God. It's talking about, again, being born again, because it goes on to say, which were born, verse 13. But look at the last part of verse 12 first. Even to them that believe on his name. Now, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ is not walking down the aisle and professing publicly him. I think that's a follow-up of it. It's not going into the waters of baptism, and showing publicly. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ is a very personal thing. It's something that takes place within you. You embrace him as your own. Everyone that's ever been saved, I believe, has done this. Whether it be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the Old Testament saints, everyone who will ever be in the presence of God in eternity received the Lord Jesus Christ. They embraced him as their own. They accepted him as who he was. They didn't know everything about him. I knew when I was first saved, I knew so little of the Bible, it was pitiful. But I knew enough to know that all the times I tried to be saved didn't work. All things that I did to be saved didn't help. I used to sing a song in Bible school years ago. Brother Gorman would lead us. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified for me. He died. He's all I need. And that's the simplicity of what we try to do when we stand before you Sunday after Sunday and preach the Word of God. We want you to receive Jesus Christ. Make him yours. Embrace him. Understand that he offers himself to you, and he wants you to take him as your own. Because the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power. He gave them authority. He gave them ability to become what they were not before, the sons of God. even to them that believe on his name. It's not baptism. It's not joining the choir. It's not living without cursing. Or never cutting your hair. Or all the other things that people have dreamed up. It's simply this. Believe on his name. Jesus. 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 Believe he is who he whose name says he is. Jehovah is salvation. He's my salvation. Verse 13 says, which were born, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Which were born not of blood, not because they were the descendants of Abraham. No doubt, Nicodemus was that. But so was Judas Iscariot. Nor the will of the flesh, not because you want to do it, not because you think you can work up the ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just a head knowledge. As I said, it goes down in here. It's a receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ to yourself, embracing him as your only hope. Nor the will of the man. Mom and dad can't do it for you. It's not the will of some other man. But of God. New birth is of God. You know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's why they didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they wouldn't believe on him. They were dead. But through a new birth, they can be made alive. Made alive. And verse 14, and we'll close with this verse, the Word was made flesh. What a wondrous, glorious thing to realize the one who was born in a manger, one who lived on this earth without sin, one who went to the cross and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was the Word. We started with the Word in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And all of these things in between. He's a creator. He made everything. He's the light of the world. When a baby is born, God gives it life. He was in the world. That staggers me every time I read this, to realize that he was in this world and people didn't recognize him. It wasn't his physical aspect. He didn't have a halo around his head. You didn't recognize him like that. The only way you can recognize him is an act of God, a new birth, a change, a receiving of what you could not receive before. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He walked on this earth. I think of that often. You know, he didn't have a car to jet around in when he wanted to go. He rode donkeys most of the time, or he walked. He dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. I think many times what it must have been like to see those miracles. When he performed those astounding miracles, raising the dead, what would it be like to see a dead person raised? Well, I'll tell you what it's like to see somebody with a broken heart and tears streaming down their face and say, Brother Bennett, I want to be saved. To see them trust the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him, and gladly confess, I've trusted him. I want to be a member of the church. I want to be baptized. You see, that's as great a miracle as you'll ever see in all the miracles that are recorded in the Bible. A new birth. An act of God. A new birth is an act of God. All the things that he did while he walked on this earth. We beheld his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him changed. John was there. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, how full he was of grace. How gracious he was to the woman at the well. How gracious he was to the woman in chapter 8 who was taken in adultery. How gracious he was over and over again to sinners, to people who needed health. He was full of grace. I find no record in the Bible where he ever turned away from anyone who asked him for help, no matter what it was. Blind Bartimaeus, we preached on him the other day. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he called him. The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God help us to follow the example of our Savior. We need to be full of grace and we need to be full of truth. But many times we can't show any grace because we're too full of ourselves. And we don't care much about truth because we want our own way. But that's what the Christian's been called to do, beloved. We're to deny ourselves and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example, Peter says, who did no sin. And he's our example. That's our message. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your word, how we love to read and study and want, Father, to make it plain that people might grasp these truths that you've given us, that they might cleave to them as their own, and might change our lives to be more like Christ. We leave those things in your hands. Pray for forgiveness of our own sins and ask, Lord, your blessing on the service in Jesus' name. Amen.